From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Rejectors of God Rejected, an exposition of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, it is the suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. Man has no excuse for not knowing God, for even the very heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 25 says that sinful men have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Because of this stubborn rejection of truth, God gives men over to a reprobate mind. Yet in the gospel, God holds out mercy and forgiveness to those who will repent and turn to Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Night of Weeping, Joyous Day. The text is Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A moment under our Father's anger seems very long, and yet it is but a moment after all. If we grieve his spirit, we cannot look for his smile. But he is a God ready to pardon, and he soon puts aside all remembrance of our faults. When we faint and are ready to die because of his frown, his favor puts new life into us. This verse has another note of the semiquaver kind. Our weeping night soon turns into joyous day. Brevity is the mark of mercy in the hour of the chastisement of believers. The Lord loves not to use the rod on his chosen. He gives a blow or two, and all is over. Yea, and the life and the joy which follow the anger and the weeping more than make amends for the salutary sorrow. Come, my heart, begin thy hallelujahs. Weep not all through the night, but wipe thine eyes in anticipation of the morning. These tears are dews which mean us as much good as the sunbeams of the morrow. Tears clear the eyes for the sight of God in his grace, and make the vision of his favor more precious. A night of sorrow supplies those shades of the pictures by which the highlights are brought out with distinctness. All is well.
Oh,
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
the prevalence of a form of reasoning, of a philosophy that defends the rejection of truth and justifies the moral filth, calling evil good and good evil. That philosophy is a mark of the judgment of God. There have always been sodomites in this nation, but there was always a spiritual core from which all the thinking of Americans was derived that could nail it and see it for what it was and judge it as wrong. But that's no longer true. What prevails in our nations today is a set of reasoning, a way of thinking, that says that may be your truth, but my truth is very different. That may be your opinion. The whole of divine revelation now is reduced to your opinion, and my opinion is every bit as good as yours. That is a mark, the judgment of God. God gave them up. It's a very telling statement. I haven't time to do more than list what it means. God gave them up by removing His restraints. Let me tell you, sinners know very little of how often God has kept them back from the worst excesses of their own lusts and their own follies. When He removes His restraints, that's giving them up. He gives them up by reprobating those who reprobate Him. Verse 28, it doesn't come out. It's very difficult to get it out in translation. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The terms are very similar. Different forms of the same root word. As they rejected God, God rejected them. Verse 26, He gives them up by permitting shameless, degrading passions to find free expression. Because you see, sin is its own punishment, at least for now. And then God gives them up. This will not be very politically correct, but it's theologically correct, and that's much more to my liking. God gives them up by allowing the foul consequences of immorality to break out in the bodies of those who dishonor their own bodies with their wicked perversions. In 1 Timothy 5:24, we read that some men's sins are open before, going before them to the judgment. Here we read that God has spoken of those who receive in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. What are called STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, are not only a law of nature, they are the judgment of God. Dr. Bob Jones III got into a lot of hot water some years ago when he had the temerity to say that AIDS in America was the judgment of God upon the homosexual activities of those suffering from it. It was immediately pointed out others have had this through blood transfusion. Others through infected drug needles that they had shared with others. All those things are true. But the fact remains at the heart of it all. AIDS in America is the sodomite disease. They have infected others. But it remains at heart the sodomite disease, protected by all the power of the U.S. government. It's a politically correct disease, And it's politically incorrect to dare to say that it's the judgment of God. But let God be true and every man a liar. They receive in their bodies that recompense of their evil and their error, which is right. And God gives them up by allowing sin to corrupt every bond in society, religion, home, marriage, friendship, and even natural relations. Here is the judgment of God at work. Of course, this judgment isn't limited to the here and now. Romans 2 verse 5 looks forward to the day of wrath. That's the ultimate force of God's judgment on sin and God's sentence on those who reject Him. Let me come to a final point. We would think that such a realization would make men take notice and repent, but that's not the case. For notice the stubbornness of those who reject God, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowing that God has declared their sin a capital crime, Paul says they not only persist in sinning, but they applaud others that sin and consent with them in their sin. When I was a boy, Britain was rocked by an awful murder of a policeman in London. Two young men, one 19, one 17, if my memory's right, went out to commit a crime. The elder, Bentley by name, had a gun. The other had nothing but his two bare hands. But they went out together to commit a crime. Somehow the police had got wind of this, and they were there, and they cornered these two young crooks. The two young men were separated. The younger of them was already in custody. And then he said the words in which his whole case and his whole life was to hang. He cried out to Bentley, "Let him have it." And Bentley pulled the trigger of his gun and killed the policeman. In court, the young man's lawyers tried to give his words the meaning that he intended to say, "Let him have it, hand over your gun." He's asking for "let him have it." But the jury didn't buy the excuse. They believed that he was not only involved in the crime, but he was consenting with his friend in the murder. And he was hung by the neck till dead. Be very careful. This is difficult in an age that's ruled by television. Be very careful about becoming an admirer of this world's sin. Don't add to your own guilt by wallowing in the pig pen of other people's filth. But rather repent and seek God's mercy in Christ. And I say repent and seek God's mercy because I think that Paul is saying all that he says here for this one reason. This is the reason for the whole exposure that he gives us of sin. It's to call men to repentance because he's setting forth the hope of the gospel. When we read this triple declaration, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them up, in English that sounds terribly final. It sounds as if there's no hope. But that would be a mistake. Because if that were so, why would Paul have traveled throughout the pagan world preaching the gospel to the very kind of people that he's here describing? Just remember that the passage we're reading tonight is part of an argument that justification is to be found only by faith alone in Christ alone, as revealed in the gospel. Because apart from the gospel, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Apart from the gospel and the righteousness of Christ revealed therein, God's wrath lies hard upon the ungodly. Thus, the call of Romans 1 is a call to Christ. That's the call of the whole New Testament. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So therefore, the force of this is, look at where you are in your sin. Look at what sin has wrought. Look at the awful degradation of the world and its sin, and then recognize there's no hope for men in idolatry. In chapter 2, he's going to go ahead and show there's no hope for men in Judaism. There's no hope for men in the religions of the world. Let's nail this tonight. There is no hope for poor sinners in Islam. There is no hope for poor sinners in Buddhism. There is no hope for poor sinners in any religion of man's devising. There is but one hope for the world, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of justification by free grace that pardons sin and establishes sinners as legally righteous in the sight of God, acceptable because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's the only hope. In chapter 3, having pursued to the end this awful story of human depravity. In chapter 3, verse 23, he says, all have sinned. All are constantly coming short of the glory of God. And then in verse 24, he speaks of being justified by the grace of God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Do you remember what he wrote to the Corinthians? It's a verse I have quoted again and again and again. Chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 gives you a list of sins. It really is another take on the same truth of Romans chapter 1. All the vicious, vile, wicked, degrading, shameless immorality that comes with heathenism. Then he said, and such were some of you. But, I always like the divine buts. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified. Men and women, the gospel works. And I say to you tonight, if you're in this meeting, let me rephrase that. For there's no if about it. In a company of this size, there is no if about it. I say to those of you in this meeting, overcome by shameful, dishonoring, destructive lust and sin. I say to those who have exchanged the worship of God and the Word of God and the walk with God for the lie and all that that entails, I say to you that God holds out to you the hope of the gospel. There's cleansing from all sin. He can wash you. There's sanctification to set you apart from that polluted stream. There's justification to set you in a right legal standing with God. Lustful, immoral, filthy people can be as clean as the creation of an angel. Sodomites. What's the best news I can give a sodomite? Best news I can give him is, son, you are not suffering from sickness, you're suffering from sin. Why is that good news? Because that old book has the answer for sin. And it's the hope of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.